Thank you, ladies, for setting the tone of our service this morning. Great things he has done. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's the basis of why we're here today. So I greet you in his name and remind us that today in Psalm 118:24, it's recorded, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So let's make a joyful noise to the Lord this morning. If you're able, let's stand. It's either on our screen. It's not on our screen yet. But it's page 673. It's when we all get to heaven. Sounder, are we far from it? Have you found it yet? Or? So we're going to go ahead and try anyway to do the best we can without our screen here at the moment. Our message today is a conclusion of a message on heaven. So as we focus on that, let's gear our minds toward the Lord and our heavenly home. And we do have it. Praise God. I'm sorry, Kim? That's correct. What, did I say something different?
No, that's it. That's the title.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky. Days are that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. I want us to focus here just a minute what that will really be like. The Bible tells us a lot. We're going to look at some of that this morning, but what will it be like when we see Jesus' face, when we make eye contact with the Savior? Stanza three, here we go.
Let us then be true and faithful every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for another day of grace, beauty, and benevolence that you have granted to mankind. We thank you today, Lord, as always, for the message of your love towards mankind that was effected through your precious Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, bore the sins, taught and bore the sins of man, was buried, crucified, was buried, and rose the third day victorious over sin, death, and the devil. We thank you today, Lord, that we can say that as those who have trusted in you and placed our faith in your Son's work. Once again, Lord, that we can claim these precious promises of victory. And so we shout hallelujah, amen. And along with that victory comes our eternal home in heaven with you. So we anticipate that time, but yet, Lord, we also realize that we are here for a purpose as well. So may we consider our preparation today for heaven, as we're going to talk about in our message. And Lord, may you motivate us closer to you this day. I pray today that if there's a decision that needs to be made, that the Spirit will tap whoever that may be, if there is someone today that needs to. And Lord, they would make a move today toward you. Now, Lord, we understand today that our community is without our walls here. And wherever we live, we have neighbors, we have acquaintances. And Lord, it's very likely that many of those folks are not destined for heaven this morning. But we pray, Lord, as we operate both within the building and outside of the building, that we would be an effective force. And we pray for the souls of our friends and neighbors here in Fruitland or wherever we live. Help us, Lord, and forgive us for not being proactive in your evangelistic field toward people. Now, Lord, also we know we're in the midst of a pandemic. There are lots of opinions about that, but I'm thankful, Lord, that you know the real purpose of all this. And we can still count on you for whatever purpose that is. But we know this, Lord, that the churches have been attacked. Many people have been ill. Some have, again, lost their lives. And we stand and we wonder, Lord, how will this all transpire? But we thank you that you are fully in control. Also, Lord, for people of our flock and others that may be ill this morning, that may be struggling possibly with grief, maybe fear, all types of emotions today, Lord. And yet I pray for someone that may show up yet today that's maybe just down the block or something, and they're saying, we need to go and we're scrambling. I'd rather see him come today, Lord, than not. So we pray for all these things today. Now, Lord, just open our hearts as we open ours toward you, because you're an awesome and wonderful God, and we want to praise your name this day and all things that take place here at Fruitland Baptist Church. And now we ask these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. For just a few moments here, I want to share a few things about the upcoming days that are on the right-hand side of your bulletin. And also, if you have things that need to be mentioned, this is certainly an appropriate time to let those things be known. First of all, at some point this week, the governor is supposed to declare the future from the 10th on as to what the thoughts are about gatherings and what can be done and what can't be done. So I've contacted I think I've contacted all of our leaders here at church, but you will have to trust them as to how we operate this next Sunday, should the Lord allow us to be here next Sunday yet. First thing is that if things continue as they are, very likely our programs will continue as they are. If they are changed back to where we can have a little less restrictive opportunities to gather, then we'll go back to our regular services. So someone will notify everyone about that. Also, let me say this, our website has been repaired, but it still has to be reworked on our part. And some of those things, hopefully by the end of the week, will be on there. Also, the evening messages that we have not heard preached in the congregation will be available on there as soon as we can get the technical process handled to record them. So those are coming, and information should flow. There should be some changes on that. Jeff has looked at it. I was just told last night later that it was operational. Is the page changed, Jeff, or maybe some of the, so there may be some different ways that you navigate that. Okay, so be patient with that. Okay, next women's Bible study, December 19th, and Beth Martin is the one to go to for that about details. Also, we would like some feedback about a candlelight service, Christmas Eve service. You can be thinking about that. We could do that in place of our prayer meeting or in addition to the prayer meeting, depending on what is going on. We'll have to see what all transpires. You can see my thought for the week there about lists. And again, be sure to pray for America, that God's will be done. And I know that that's an important thing for all of us to be concerned about. Now, are there any other things we need to announce? Matt?
Well, I got a text message from Mike Riker. Wilton Bible study is going to start again in January. It's going to be at the Wilton Presbyterian Church.
I heard that it was the 17th of December. Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, I'll have to clarify that. That's why I haven't printed that yet.
But
and so,
him,
Yeah.
Yep. Got a
hold of
me about that.
So. Yep. So Mike is going to begin to teach that study. Mike's a man that has received Christ a few years back, growing in the Lord. And I deferred to him after doing it for a year. I'm still going to faithfully attend and support it and engage in it. And it doesn't mean that I won't lead it again if that door opens. But we need to, you know, we need to see others become involved, engaged is the word. So that is a study that is really geared toward the Wilton area. But some of you do participate in that at times. And it's open to everyone. There's no restrictions on where you live. Okay, anything else this morning?
I'm looking forward to
it. All right, Jane. Well, as you know, we don't collect an offering anymore with the ushers, but that opportunity is there in the back of the auditorium. But as we proceed to that time of giving, let's have a time of prayer to thank God for the wonderful gift, the unspeakable gift, as the scriptures say, of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would bless both the gift and giver. And then we're going to have a short business meeting because we have a new member to bring on board today. And I'm always excited about that. So let's go to prayer, and we'll have a time of meditation, and then we'll go back and have our meeting. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again. Lord, when we really get right with you, what can we say but thanks, Lord? We stand in awe of you. You give us all things freely and abundantly. And you know, I think, Lord, that including I put myself in this category too much, we've become a people that are complainers. Oh, you're not unfamiliar with that, Lord. You've gotten dealt with that the whole way through. But I pray today that you'd help us, Lord, to see the goodness of your mighty hand and your loving hand toward us. Now, Lord, we thank you for the existence of this very church and this work here. And, Lord, may we all be engaged to support it and to use it, Lord, as the family of God, as we work to reach others and to edify one another here. And we know, Lord, that the church has been under attack the last few. Now, we had a very good crowd here last Sunday, but all the churches that I've talked to have had very diminished crowds in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I see that here today as well. Lord, strengthen us for the task that's at hand and for the future. But we're going to trust you, Lord, for every step. And we're not going to give up because you've never given up on us. Now, thank you, Lord, for the ability to give. And we pray that you bless both the gift and giver during this time and in the time to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yes, I know what it was before we go into our short business meeting. I recognize and acknowledge that we are in the Christmas season. We have this last part of this message that we started several weeks ago. It's been very disruptive during our time here through the COVID thing. I appreciate you allowing me to finish that. I do recognize that. The focus of our messages will be on the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ and the songs and so forth. So don't be scared. I know some churches have had wars over that. But we will accommodate all those things as well. So with that, we're going to call a business meeting to order this morning. And I would ask that, Autumn, would you serve as our... I thought Beth would be here today, but apparently...
She got home last night.
Oh, okay, very good. Thank you. And we're going to waive the minutes from the last two meetings because today it's a privilege. Oh, Diana, I've got to put my mask on. Sorry about that. I get ahead of myself sometimes. Today, it's always a privilege to bring a new member that's interested in Fruitland Baptist Church. And there's Jeff's got you a mic. I get nervous when I see microphones. You, Diana?
Yes, I do too.
Are you a little nervous this morning?
I'm nervous.
You're going to be fine, okay? I know I can't even come over and hold your hand or anything because of the COVID.
That's okay.
But God will hold it for you, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm always, I'm excited when new people are interested in Fruitland Baptist Church. And in case you've ever been interested, I don't go out cranking on people to join. I like just what we see when people are led to join by the Holy Spirit. And we love to work together as the body of Christ. And you know what? It's very simple to join God's church. There's really, really two things that are important. The first one is very important, that we know Christ is our personal Savior. And we've been forgiven and placed our sin under His blood. That brings us into the family of God. And it's also important as we belong to the local group of believers, like Fruitland or other Bible-believing churches. And, of course, that we've identified with Christ as our Savior in believer's baptism. Well, Diana has done all those things, and she's going to share just a little bit about that this morning. But she has expressed a desire to become a sign-on-the-line member. And she's investigated us, and she's found that she can work with us here. She's our neighbor, folks. I like her husband, Dan. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? They came over to help me roll up irrigation lines one day. We had the best time. Diana did the taping. Dan and I did the rolling. So, anyway.
We got the job done.
We did. Yeah. Well, Diana, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, right?
Right.
Called on His name. Yeah. And you were identified with Him in believer's baptism through immersion, just as the Scriptures say. Do you have anything you'd like to share about your salvation?
Yes, I'm going to share a very special place, which is Union, West Virginia. I've been going there for, 20-plus years on vacation every year. We like it so well, and we stay there for a week to 10 days. And we enjoy going to church. It's one of our favorite places to do things there. And in July 29th, 2018, we were at church. And we were talking about baptism. And he was going to give Pastor Paul, is his name. And he was going to do some baptismal ceremonies after church that day. Well, we had a wonderful service, as we always do there. We love the church family very much. And toward the end of the service, I had this, it's hard to explain what it was. I'm going to call it a spiritual event, for the reason that it felt like there's a lot of noise going around, but I didn't really see anything, but I felt this warm feeling and this bright light. And I remember standing up and looking at my husband and saying, today is the day. I'm going to do this. And then I turned to my girlfriend, and that's where we stay with her in West Virginia in her home. And I told her the same thing. I really don't think either one of them knew what I was talking about. But then I, when the service was over, I went to Cindy, which is Paul's wife, and I told her that I wanted to talk to the pastor and have him help me with my salvation and forgiveness of some sins that's troubled me for years. So she took me to the front of the church, and the rest of the people were going outside and saying their goodbyes and things, and we went up and sat in the front of the church, and I told him my sins and asked him to help me pray for forgiveness and my salvation.
Yeah.
Which he did. And it took me a long time, longer, myself to forgive me for them sins than it did for the Lord to forgive me. And then we talked about the baptism, and it was decided I would go and be baptized with the other two people that day. So he says, go over to Dev's, get some old clothes on, and meet us down at the creek. So I went over to Dev's. We got our old clothes on. I got mine on. My other two partners were pretty quiet, just kind of followed me around here. But I got old clothes on. We got on the back of the four-wheeler, went through the pasture and up to the creek, the same creek that we cross over and over with the cows, mind you, while we're four-wheeling. And I thought to myself at first when I seen it there, I thought, well, is this deep enough to do this, you know, I was thinking. And I'm afraid of water anyway. But we did it there, and it was the most amazing experience. And you just amazing. And it's something I wanted to do every year that I went out there. And why it happened this day, I have no idea. But I didn't let the moment pass.
That's the day God called you.
Yeah. And then when it was over, we all sang Amazing Grace. And he closed in prayer. It was a fabulous moment. And it changed my life ever since then.
Man.
And now I've come to this church, and this is my church family.
Yep.
And I thank God for all of you.
Yep.
Well, especially my Bible study group.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we thank the Lord that you're here, Diana. We love our neighbors.
I thank the Lord for all of you.
Yep. Well, thanks so much for that good testimony, Diana. And upon her profession of faith, and that she is, again, identified with Christ and believer's baptism, I'll ask that someone make a motion. We receive her. Lisa and Matt will give you the second. I saw many hands go up at the same time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Welcome, Diana. I'll give you an air shake for now. Now, I know we've got this COVID thing going on, but if Diana can stay away from me a ways, you don't have to shake her hand, but come and tell her welcome. And Diana, I have a little card for you that tells that you became a member here today. And don't let me forget to get that to you this morning when we're finished. But we're just delighted, and hopefully we can rejoice together and also weep together. We can bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So we're glad to have you, Diana. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it is a wonderful day that God's given us. I do appreciate the decorations in here today. And we know that this is the season of lights because Jesus is the light of the world. And it's certainly appropriate to celebrate his birth. And we're gonna today look into the subject of heaven for our last time. Oh, Jeff. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, Jeff? We're going to hear from Jeff first, okay? I just got to lay it on the line like it is. You're always thinking, where am I at in the service? You know, it's not on purpose,
on
Jeff.
A little bit, but I would like to thank the ladies decorated yesterday.
Yes.
Doesn't it beautiful?
Amen.
Before and after the Bible study. And this is going to be the first Christmas song maybe of the season here. So
yep. Jeff's going to teach us.
I might have sung a year or two ago. It's simple. I'll go through it once, and then we'll all do it together. Bethlehem, tiny town, that's the place where God stepped down to become a man like you and me. Just a babe, cold and poor, with the keys to heaven's door. Praise the Lord, he came to make us free. While shepherds kept vigil through the night, from the courts of heaven shone a light, and the world could hear the angels sing, Alleluia to the newborn King. Bethlehem, came down like a rose that's born in winter's night. Sing my soul a song of praise that will last for all my days. He has filled my darkness with his light. Has filled my darkness with his light. I want to thank Barb for doing this too. I'd never heard the piano part to this song before. I'd always just done it on guitar. But that's beautiful too.
We're going to sing it together, Jeff?
Yes, yeah. Everybody,
great.
Follow along now.
Bethlehem, tiny town, that's the place where God stepped down to become a man like you and me. Just a babe, cold and poor, but with keys to heaven's door. Praise the Lord, he came to make us free. While shepherds kept vigil through the night, from the courts of heaven shone a light, and the world could hear the angels sing. Alleluia to the newborn King. Bethlehem, tiny town, where the Son of Love came down, like a rose that's born in winter's night. Sing my soul a song of praise that will last for all my days. He has filled my darkness with his light. He has filled my darkness with his light.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank
now
you, Jeff.
Now we'll do that in 2 weeks again.
Yep.
So you'll see how you remember it.
That's excellent. Very good, Jeff, and thank you. Please forgive me. It was not intentional. Too many things on the slate there. But, Jeff, we appreciate that very much. And what a beautiful tune that really is. You know, a great reminder again of the Son of God coming to earth for our sakes. Well, I didn't know what this meant this morning, but when I walked up to the pulpit to place my books in the order of the service out, I found this. It's a pacifier. I didn't know if that had a significant meaning, that it was up here, that I need to stick it in and sit down. Ellie, is this yours? I'm seeing someone point. No?
Elizabeth
with an S. Well, I'll tell you what, unless you want me to use it,
no.
I'm gonna lose it. So, Autumn, it's coming to you.
In front of you anyway.
What's that?
There's a babe in the manger.
Yes, there is. Autumn, this is coming to you by airmail. Okay. Well, you know, God uses all kinds of things. I thought, well, what a perfect sermon illustration and an attention grabber this morning to have a... We call them nooks. I don't know what... I know they're passies, all binkies, there's all kinds of names. And there's probably times you'd like to let me stick that in and be done. But today we have some important scripture to look at. I think it's very important for people. It's a stern section of scripture, yet preached and given, delivered in God's love. Of course, you know that Christ's love for us is never ending, and his intent for us is for good. But like we know, sometimes we have to consume some hard things too. And let's face it, folks, not everything that we conceive about things is biblical. We have our own preconceived notions about a lot of things because we neglect to look into what the Scriptures have to say. So today, our focus is going to be on point four, and there is a few extra handouts that I brought up in case you've lost yours and so forth. But this is preparing to face accountability at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we're going to examine today. I pray that God will help me to bring this out in orderly fashion, also with efficiency. So shall we go to prayer, and we'll attempt to see this completed today. Our Father in heaven, we come humbly before your throne this day. Lord, we take a lot of things in our finite minds not as seriously as we should. But Lord, I believe this with all my heart because the Bible teaches us this, that we will face you one day face to face. But Lord, what I've even been thinking about this morning is you fed me on how to open this message again this morning, early this morning. Have I looked into your eyes lately? Have I looked into your face? Yeah, I know this, Lord, we'll see a loving face, but we'll also see a face that is serious about things. And I'll tell you, Lord, you asked your people all the way through to look into your face, and most of the time, they neglected to do that very thing. I admit there's been times I haven't either, Lord, and I'm certain that's the case with this congregation that's here this morning. So I pray you'll readjust our thinking, that you'll anoint my lips, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to preach. As you know, Lord, and I tell you all the time, I'm not worthy and I'm not capable. But you have placed me here with not only a responsibility, but I love the responsibility, but yet a frail person. So I pray today, Lord, that you'll empower the things that are said here for your glory through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll give this time for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, on that very subject, when's the last time you saw Jesus face to face? You can, my friends, through his word. And as you explore him, if you've trusted him as your personal Savior and you're walking with him in a close fellowship. You know, through the Bible, I haven't done a concise count on it, but I'm going to throw one verse out here today that's bandied about all the time. And help me on this too. You know, before our election, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, there were groups that wanted us to pray and be reminded at 7:14 a.m., 7:14 p.m. I don't know where that stands now because things, I hope it's still valid. But turn there this morning in the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. Rather than I misquote that, we're going to look at it, but it says something to this effect. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, that's the key here that I wanted to bring to you, that is found multiple times. I can quote it. He says, I will hear them. Isn't that what he says? And heal, hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. But the key here, folks, is God is asking people all the way through his scriptures to look at him in his face. By the way, what do you know when you look into someone's face? There are really usually two things that you'll determine quickly with that person. I don't know. You can analyze who I am on that, and there can be good and bad. But you're usually going to know if this is someone that you can communicate with or if it's someone you want to leave alone. Do you agree with me on that? Now, let me also ask you another thing. When you did something wrong when you were a child, or even as an adult child, and you faced accountability, there's that word again, faced. We'll talk about that here through this message. Did you want to look into the eyes of the one that held you accountable? We've talked about all that before through the years. When we commit a sin, the first thing that comes to our mind in our flesh, not in the spirit, in our flesh is to what? To run and hide and not face accountability. I'm not supposed to point. Remember, when you point, there's what? Three going back to you. That's the scariest thing, to face accountability. I'm scared to face Jesus Christ. And that's what this text that we're going to look into this morning is about. And yet, I realize this today that I will face him. And I realize today that I have a past. And so do you. And as of yet, I have a future. And what I do with things, not to gain or earn my salvation, but what I do with things after I've been saved, we're accountable for, folks, because we will see the face of Jesus Christ. And it's an important thing. And I'm not going to take the cop-out that I'll address later and say, well, we're all going to end up in heaven. It doesn't mean anything about our... That's right. It doesn't stop us from entering heaven. You know, many of us would say, well, as long as I got one of the cheap seats, I'm there. But don't think that way, folks. Because Jesus is a face that is a face like no other face. And I'll tell you what, he has eyes that are filled with judgment. And while our entrance into heaven is not questioned in this, our accountability for what we did. You see, works still matter. They don't matter for our salvation, but they matter after we're saved. Because we're judged on those, again, to give the rewards back to Jesus, the one from whom they came. So hopefully today this is not a dull message or a boring, but it's a sobering message. Maybe it's that message today that says, I do need to look into Jesus' face, because I'm telling you right now, I need to look in it more. I'm not right, and neither are you. I know that because we're human. Enough said on that, right? So now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to start today. By the way, Diana, do not let me forget to give you this. I'm getting more and more forgetful about things. And as I've told you before, I have to lay things down. So I have to. Autumn came into my office one day to clean, and she saw something on the floor, and she picked it up. I'm sorry, Pastor, this is on the floor. I said, it's there for a reason, Autumn, because I'll never leave the office without having dealt with what's on the floor. So if you come in and see things on the floor, there's a reason. 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to focus on verses 9 through 11 to get started here this morning, and we're going to move. But again, this is point 4, and this is our preparation today to face the accountability at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's take off on 2 Corinthians 5, 9 here, and we're going to begin. Paul writes this, and you can read the previous context there, and you know, this is the classic chapter where he says, he talks about death. He says to be absent from the body is to instantaneously be present with the Lord. And so now he's going to talk about heaven further here in these verses. And Paul says this, wherefore we labor. Now that's in the King James, but you could insert in there very correctly, we make it our aim or our goal. And it isn't interesting, we hear all the time from the scriptures and from the pulpit that we're not saved by our works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say we are not saved by works, but by what? Grace. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we are saved by works, then we have a reason to go around with bust your buttons proud of what I've done. But let me say this, folks, we are saved by the work of Jesus Christ. And that's who we need to brag on, is Jesus Christ, because it was his work, God's work of love on Calvary's cross, that brought salvation to the lives of man, especially in our age today. But we've always been saved the same way. Adam and Eve, you'll see them in heaven, because they were saved by grace through faith. God should have whacked the whole thing. You know, I mean, he could have. I'll state that properly. But he chose to what? To allow them again to accept the coats of skins to close their, to cover their sin, which was symbolized in the shedding of blood of animals. And their sin was covered under the blood, and they trusted God because they took the coats. That's what the Bible reveals, and they were saved by God's grace through faith, through trusting him. Anyway, Paul says we labor. People don't like that word labor because it means work. But can I ask you, have you ever done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ where you weren't repaid multitudinous times over? And I'm not talking with money or corruptible stuff that we get all excited about in this world. God never, you know, read 1 Corinthians 15:48, I believe it is. It tells us nothing we do for the Lord is what? Labor in vain. It's not a waste of time. So Paul says this should be the mindset, the ambition of the believer, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now here's what I've got written in my notes here. And by the way, what we're talking about is the Bema seat of Christ. The Bema just means the reviewing stand, and I'm going to talk about that more later. But here's the thing. What's being talked about with this thing called labor here that Paul addresses here, he's saying that our ambition should be of acceptance by God, but not acceptance of God by our works, okay? So I'll say that again. Our ambition should be acceptance by God of our works, but not, again, the sense there of our works saving us. Because like I said, Ephesians 2:8-9 say we are not saved by works. And these works that Paul's talking about here are to prove our genuine salvation. Because there's a couple of other texts and scriptures among a few more than two. But Revelation 14:13 even tells us there, it says, our works do follow us. So what we do or don't do here on earth has a tail. And we're going to be reviewed on that. And of course, you know the classic passage out of the book of James, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, essentially say that faith without works is dead. He says, show me your faith, you'll also see works, because faith in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit combined with the Word produces in us the desire, or should, to do good works for God. Okay, not for salvation, but because we love Jesus and we want to do the things that He would have us to do, that He's commanded us to do. They prove our genuine salvation and love for Him. Now, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I said that word judgment in there. The Greek word for that is bema or bema. Either one is acceptable. But I want to take you back to something. I don't know what all you folks have been judged on in life. Maybe some of you were in 4-H and you had a livestock project or you had a home ec project. But I'm going to go back to a little story quickly to prove this out, what it's like. When we used to have a marching band in Wilton during our era, from the 70s into the early 80s, and Wapello used to have a superb marching band, if any of you were from down there. I mean, they had ones in marching contests for an unbroken record of 30-some years. I always kind of wondered about that. But and Wilton's record got destroyed, but during our time, we had a fine band, and it was very much expected that new people coming into those programs were going to toe the line. And could you believe at Wilton we had like 120 people in band? Carol?
That's because Harold Cross was their director for all those years.
Down at Wapello, yeah, yeah. Bill Holt, Mike Green up at Wilton during the Halcyon days. By the way, Kim was a flutist, as you know. Flutes aren't in marching band. Kim twirled a rifle. So I'm very careful how I work with Kim because she knows how to handle guns. Yeah, we were a core style band. Yeah, core doesn't mean that we imbibed in cores. C-O-R-P. I wanted to clarify that. Core style was that you didn't do the goose steps, you did just like this, okay? Anyway, we go to Cedar Rapids for street marching every spring in May. And that was always a neat day, but we marched around the downtown area of Cedar Rapids, and there was a platform that when you went by that, if any of you have ever marched in a band, you know there's many things. Levels of instruments, lines being perfectly lined, everyone in step, the sound, the dynamics of the sound, the colors, everything. And you were reviewed from a stand. So if you were going to mess up, you better mess up somewhere else but in front of the stand. It was a reviewing platform, and what you got back, you did find out that day where you ranked. And it was not one of those dumbed-down things. You were either one of the top three bands or you were somewhere else. And you knew that, okay? But you were critiqued because within a week there'd be a sheet that arrived and we'd skip a practice session of band and we'd all hear what we did right or wrong. That's what this is with Jesus. It's a review. Now, everyone has always wondered, and I can't tell you either, but I know this, there's going to be some way that Jesus is going to review our lives with us personally. I don't know how. He knows everything. He has the records. But, you know, he's going to commend us for the right things we've done. But, you know, I think he'll also be what? We'll see his eyes of fire, but I think they may be filled with tears when we disappointed Jesus. Now, I know we're all thinking, again, that human mentality. Well, maybe the good stuff, you know, is good enough. You ever hear that? It's good enough. Well, the key with Jesus is, have we done the best we could? And when we hear this, have we done the best from here on when we're reminded of this that we could? Because it's going to be a review. That's what Bema means. And I don't know how it'll happen, but I believe what the Bible says. Because Paul said right there in verse 10, he said, we must all appear. That word appear isn't just showing up. I alluded to that a few weeks ago here when I gave you a little hint of what we're going to look at, or a week ago, whatever it was. Appear means to what? To present ourselves accountable for a review of what we've done. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. By the way, the timing of this, anyone know where I believe where it's placed is after the resurrection. In other words, after Christ returns in the air, translates the church to heaven, there's going to be a time there during the early parts of the tribulation period here on earth where we're going to be reviewed in our bodies. Prior to that, we'll be there in the form of our souls, but these will be our new resurrected bodies, and it is a review based on what we're going to receive for rewards. Now, are those rewards going to be for us to go around and say, look what I've done? There's five crowns the Bible speaks of. I'll give them to you later. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be presented back to Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old hymn, must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior soul? That's about winning souls. The fact of the matter is one of those crowns is for soul winning. My account could be in better shape on that. I'll give you the crown. Well, you want to hear them right now? There's the victor's crown, the rejoicing, the righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. And in soul winning factors into a couple of those. Wouldn't it be a shame to meet Jesus and be reviewed and see Jesus disappointed that most of the things we did were of no value to him? That's a sobering thought. When we'll see him face to face. Now, how do I know this is going to be a serious thing? Well, just give me a minute here and I'll get there. He says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We'll expand on that as well. But here's verse 11, folks. This is why this ought to be a big concern to us. Because Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You heard what I said earlier. If you got in trouble at school and you had to face the principal, you didn't want to look in their face or their hand at Wilton in the early days with a paddle with holes drilled in it. Paul says this is going to be a terrifying event to us. And he says, that's why we persuade men. Paul says this is important. Very important. It's really, if you really want to look at it right, folks, the teaching and the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith and the teachings of Jesus, this falls right there. And it's one of the fewest things it's ever preached about, in my opinion. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And then Paul admits here, but we are made manifest unto God. and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Paul's saying, I'm a sinner too, and I'm struggling with this. And I hope that me acknowledging this and communicating this holy writ that was inspired of God that was delivered to Paul, he says, I hope you'll understand this too and realize that we struggle in that same venue. But this is very, very important. Okay, enough said, because the clock's ticking. But let me just reiterate, this is not about our salvation, but it's about our service attitude. It's not going to be just about what we did and didn't do. It's going to be about our heart, because God knows your heart and He knows my heart, and He knows that John's heart is not right at all times. It's about our attitude. Romans 8:1 says we are not condemned, those that are in Christ Jesus, that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. He knows our heart. So Paul says it is serious business. It will be terrorizing if we are unprepared to review our laxity and realize what a shame it is that we neglected doing for Jesus. And folks, it's going to be embarrassing. And you know what? There's people today that won't even get up in front of a group of people or do, and I'm not condemning them. I understand. You think this is where my niche is? I'm solid as a rock. But we better get prepared. There's no one we'll ever engage on this side of eternity that's going to be as important or as fearful to engage as Jesus Christ about this very thing. What a shame. But wrong attitudes of believers are just what I described to you. I'm saved and headed for heaven. What does it matter? There's probably people that aren't here today. I've heard it from people. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm saved. But Jesus knows that I'm a sinner. And really, we would have that attitude toward our Lord. It's false teaching that comes out of the churches. Well, here's the criteria. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, I don't think Paul's bragging in this, but he's going to describe to you in the next verses here that the foundation that he's laid in his life was based upon Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul's recognizing what's taught in Scripture, that we're all like a bunch of stones. That's what the church is made of, stones, living stones. And we're all built on this foundation, which is Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone of the church. And the next layer is the apostles. And Paul was one of them, folks. He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the rest of us are built upon that foundation. And up it goes. We are in that process today, every one of us that is here. We are going to leave a legacy. But here's what Paul says. He says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Remember this, you can have a solid foundation, but if that wall full of rocks becomes weak, whatever comes thereafter is going to fail. I'll tell you what, folks, I believe this with all my heart. There's going to be some big accountability to not only us that are living here today, but people in the last couple of generations, because we dropped the ball for Jesus. Not everyone. But as a whole, see, we've bought into this philosophy that this doesn't really matter. But that's not what Paul says, because he says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the bedrock of all this. Through 15, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Tell me about the value of these things. Well, would you rather have me hand you a handful of hay or a diamond? I handed Kim a handful of hay and she received it with grace, which we should. And her diamond, you know, is lost somewhere, but someday I'm praying that I'll give her a rock. I mean, that weighs her hand down. Rosa, you think that'd be okay? But knowing me, it'll probably be a piece of gravel with baling wire for the... We don't have time today, but Kim bailed me out yesterday. Some of you in the women's Bible study know that. She was a beautiful wife. I was so glad to see her when she came. Someday I'll tell you what all happened, but it was a typical day at the Browns. But anyway, our works have value to God. And some of them won't stand the test because you know what? Jesus, it's recorded in Scripture that his eyes of judgment are like a refiner's fire. And that's what's said right here in this text. We're going to be judged, our works are going to be judged by fire. Well, that's not the hazel, brown-eyed Jewish man that walked on earth. By the way, I don't know that Jesus' eyes were brown, but likely they were if he was a Jew. He was the meek servant Savior, but he is now what? The mighty, eternal Judge. They'll be made manifest. There it is again. It's going to be reviewed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's the crowns. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the refiner's fire. How much more clear can I put it than what the Apostle Paul wrote? You can look over to chapter 4 quickly. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. Paul's writing here. Some of this is a little difficult. You have to work through this with the Spirit's teaching. But with me, Paul says, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. By the way, there's a whole lot more judging going on in Christians' lives of people on their exterior than their interior, right? Paul says, it's a small thing, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. What's Paul admitting here? I don't do enough judging of myself. I'm weak in this, and I think we can all say that today. Because here's what he says. This is why he's saying, get prepared, because he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, that's the dark side of my heart, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then every man shall have praise of God. If you go on to be, we're going to have to save time, but if you go to verses, and there's several, but verses like 1 Peter 4:17, it says something to this effect that judgment begins where? At the house of God. Now, people have sometimes said, well, that's the church. It's also this old carcass that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Us! And we need to be doing pre-judgment, but even we can't do it right because we can only judge it how we see it, even through the lens of Scripture. But let me tell you what, Jesus is a righteous and just judge. He'll call us as we are. He'll call us as we are. Only Christ can proclaim those things. I'm on the last page and it's short. Chili soup today. The Cunninghams aren't here. They have concerns over the COVID and everything. If Bill was here, he'd say, what are you having? It's chili today. Sound good? Yeah. I might splurge and have a little cheese, Lord willing. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Acts Romans, right behind 1 Corinthians. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Romans 14, 10 through 12. Paul writes again here. He says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, see it here, shall give account about the other people in God's family that we knew at Fruitland Baptist Church. Matt Swanson, he did all kinds of things. No. Us. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You see, we're even going to be judged how we handled our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we cause them to stumble. My record's not clean. You don't have to respond to me. But I've told you the truth about me. Now over to Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Dr. Colas always called it Colossians. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. This is just a general thing that Paul tells Christians. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, it says in the KJV, that means responsibly or carefully. You better watch how you operate, John. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What Paul's saying there is time is against us. I have a lot less years or days or hours or minutes than I had and have been given. What are you going to do with the time? Paul warns you there. He says you better be careful because it's going to work against you. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise or unlearned, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You can't leave here today and have not known about the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and what needs to be done to prepare for that. Don't let time slip away because heaven gets closer each day. It's a sobering thought, yet an exciting one. And the last reference today, 1 John 2:28. And there's a whole lot more could be said about this. 1 John 2:28. But I hope that these messages have given us thought about heaven and the preparation that we need to be involved in yet this side of eternity. This backs up what I talked about that Paul said earlier. But here the Apostle John gives another shade of this. He says, and now little children, abide in him. Or common English, stay close to Jesus. Keep looking in his face. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I mentioned five crowns: crown of the victor, crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. Rewards will also be a part of this judgment. You've heard that this morning. Not for us to go and say, look what we've done. We have to say, look what Jesus did through our life in a humble way. But the question above all of what we have studied in these three messages is, are you prepared to enter heaven? What wrong ideas may need to be corrected? Oh, folks, it's still out there, even after 2,000 years. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, there's still people think that you work your way to heaven, that it's a balance, that if you've done more good than bad, you'll enter heaven. Sorry for the farmer language, it ain't in Scripture. And tell me all the other things that are out there that people, and a lot of people don't even believe in the afterlife. Or as I mentioned, some people believe in universalism, that everyone's going to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that either. You got to see what it teaches. You had a little glimpse of that today. What I'm telling you here, folks, I believe with all my heart, is the facts of Scripture. We will be brought into accountability for our works after we're saved. So what would be a priority in your life and mine today, because this is big stuff? I don't have an answer for that. I do for my own life. And I'll give you that answer off the cuff quickly as we close, is that I need to get into Jesus' face every day. And I need to see Him transform me, that from wherever I am today, I'm what? I'm doing a different way about things, realizing that I'm accountable. Amen. And I don't have to say, well, what do you want me to do, Lord, because you got 66 books here. He tells us. By the way, I couldn't preach on that in a lifetime. I told you the story. There was a young pastor. He was at a church for 3 years. He said, I preached everything there is to preach. And he left to go to another church. Wow. You know, I've told you that the older I get, the less I know. Some of you that are, the less I know. When I was in my 30s, I had it pretty well figured out. And no, I haven't lost anything from my 30s, well, maybe a little. But the fact is, as you get older and you get wiser in the Lord, you begin to find out that what? There's a lot to be learned. Well, bottom line is my last sentence. The time for action is when? Next month? A year from now? You got it. Amen. Face to face with Christ my Savior. 676. Thanks for your good attention this morning. But what I'm mainly interested in now is, I think, what the Lord is interested in. Will you make a commitment today? Will you make a movement to look into Jesus' face today and every day? And again, the front of this auditorium is open for people. You know, God's no closer back there than He is up here. But the only thing is, you can see Him better sometimes when you step out and get out of the crowd. You agree with that, Teresa?
I agree.
Running with the crowd is the worst thing you can do. But running with Jesus is the best. I'm simply saying this, the front of this auditorium is always open, and Jesus is here today, and He wants to hear from you. But wherever you choose to do that, realize time is short, and we will give an account. Face to face with Christ my Savior, verse 1, will be dismissed. 676. Whoops. Well, we got a problem here, Houston. I thought I had near to the heart of God. We'll go with that.
235.
235. Okay. For some reason, I had it in my bulletin different.
Ooh, what do you want to do?
I want to see people get close to Jesus today, Autumn, honestly, including myself. I want to see His face, you know. Near to the heart of God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Judy, I'll talk to you in a minute here. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold those who wait before me near to the heart of God. Would there be one more today that would want to come and look into Jesus' face? Well, today I'm going to dismiss you with God's blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. I would ask that one of our deacons or someone that would get this card back to Diana, and I'll be back to greet you as best as I can. I'm going to stay up here at this moment. Father, thank You today for a glimpse into Your face. And Lord, it's certainly my desire to draw closer to You and to look into Your loving eyes, Lord, realizing that I'm deficient But I don't want to be, Lord. I want to do it right and build on the gold, silver, and precious stones and on those that have gone before us that, are, again, are the stones that make up your church, your people, your family. So dismiss us today, Lord. Deal with us as we need to be, Lord, to draw us, again, closer to you. Dismiss us with your care and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.